And we're back. You hear the music in the intro. It's been a little bit since we've done one of these, but figured get a little ridiculousness off our chests. And we're going to do a half-isode today, going back to our roots with the half-isodes for the best original song of 2015, so the 2016 Oscars. They really just need to start putting the Academy Awards at the end of December.
I think they should give it a Roman numeral, like Super Bowls, maybe.
Or WrestleManias, yeah. I'm with
you. MLLCXXIII.
This is another episode of Mike and Oscar, a half episode. I'm your co-host, Mike One. This is also Mike.
Also Mike here. I like making Roman numeral jokes, mm-hmm, I think. Mm-hmm.
It's a very niche category of comedy.
Right. I own it, actually. I think...
You're the guy.
We've had a lot of frivolity in these half-isodes, right? We've did the 1980 whatever.
Probably putting it lightly, yes.
It felt like an MTV Music Award most times.
Right, right. The seriousness wasn't really there.
We actually have some substantive... song work to discuss and break down. And
seriousness is absolutely here for this one. No
I wish
question.
We were as serious enough human beings and, you know,
respectable
audible presences to pull this off.
Tackle this. But yeah, no, we're doing, like we said, the 2015 year in movies, and we're doing the 2016 Oscars, the 88th Academy Awards. Give you a little background before we get into these song by song. If you have not been with us for a Best Original Song half episode before, what we do is we usually they're lighter takes on the performances and kind of the what we review here, as opposed to those serious deep dives with Oscar Schmidt profiles. But like also Mike just told you, there's some serious subject matter here today. But what we do is we take the song or Best Original Song category, we'll go song by song through it, commenting on each one along the way, and re-rank them all at the bottom.
If we get on a YouTube tangent with music videos or other people's music videos even, we'll mm-hmm. mention that. This, I think we're fairly focused on this episode. We had to be.
Yeah, it's tough to make light of some of this, and you just plain can't.
I'm glad I didn't go on a 50 Shades of Grey tangent on YouTube or anywhere else. I mean, that's just healthier for my psyche.
Definitely an interesting combination of movie content in this category. We'll talk about it, but we're talking about the 88th Academy Awards, which are held February 28th of 2016 at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. They are hosted by Chris Rock in what may have been the most anticipated Oscars monologue of all time, as arguably the most creative and animated stand-up comedian ever, was tasked with taking on the Oscars So White controversy head-on. That, of course, was coming out of age as the main acting categories, all the nominations, no minorities.
Disaster for the Academy.
Ridiculous.
But at least... they handled this category and the rest of the Oscars perfectly, right, Mike?
Yeah. The Revenant had the most nominations on the night with 12. Mad Max Fury Road, that undercard sweep we keep talking about and referencing, they walked home with the most awards on the night with 6. Wikipedia says the program was on ABC and ran for 3 hours and 37 minutes and pulled in a 23.4 Nielsen rating while being seen in 34.42 million homes, which is good for the 4th most seen television broadcast of the year 2016.
They wish they had those numbers these days.
The rating was up roughly 3 Nielsen points, but overall, interestingly enough, viewership had actually declined from the previous year's Oscars by about 3 million people.
Uh-huh.
So obviously, sometimes I guess controversy does not create viewership, and in this case, you had the very outspoken, a lot of celebrities in Hollywood saying they were going to boycott the Oscars, a lot of people not being on the red carpet, not being interviewed. It was a very contentious time, and was not helped out by the way this category was handled.
Again, Mike, at least 2016 would become a much better year for us all, I would say.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Always look on the bright side of life.
That's my laugh now. That's my laugh now.
So let's start off with the winner of the category, which was the Sam Smith performance from the movie Spectre, the James Bond movie, Writings on the Wall. Here's a little taste. If I risk it all,
cause the writing's on the wall. A million stars
That was the winner, huh?
Music and lyrics by Jimmy Naples and Sam Smith, performed, of course, by Sam Smith. The specs here, Mike, some positive, some very negative. This was the winner for the Best Original Song category of this year. Mm-hmm. Insanely, it is only the second Bond theme to win. Skyfall by Adele in 2012 is the other song.
Yeah, not, I don't know what's crazier, that it's only the second Bond film to win the Best Original Song, or that it took until 2012 for the first Bond film to win Best Original Song. But...
Diamonds Are Forever.
I was always partial. Always partial to Die Another Day by Madonna, and everyone else
hates
it.
Yeah, it's not bad either. I mean, the first James Bond theme song to reach number one on the UK singles charts, that's another surprising factoid.
That is.
You know, I thought the, you know, across the pond there, they like their James Bond theme songs. I guess not.
Yeah.
Or they don't, or they like them. They don't love them. They don't get back to us there. But anyway.
I
know. I mean, it's just like, just we're like in a harump it's this whole time.
Surprising, yeah.
And this song won a Golden Globe and a St. Louis FCAA award. So apparently, Smith and Naples wrote and composed the bulk of this song, or the bulk of this song in a whirlwind recording session lasting around 20 to 30 minutes.
That's it?
A lot of critics would go on and make fun of this fact.
Wow, why? It took you 30 minutes to win an Oscar. That's pretty good.
I think it's pretty good. I think that happens a lot, though. Like, we watch a lot of music documentaries, and when the muse strikes, when they come up with the little ditty, when they really go hard on it, I think I've heard that before. I can't put my finger on when and where, but, like...
I mean, you could argue as to whether or not this was the rightful winner or the best song in the category, certainly, and... I mean, 30 minutes and you get an Academy Award and a Golden Globe. I think that's pretty good use of time.
I do. I think that's talent right there. So Wikipedia is all over the controversy and the negatives here as well. Apparently this song was so poorly reviewed that Bond song favorite that I mentioned earlier, Shirley Bassey, was trending on Twitter the day of Writings on the Wall's release because Twitter was longing for the days of Diamonds Are Forever, Goldfinger, and Moonraker, which are all Shirley Bassey theme songs.
This is a very Sam Smith song. It's not necessarily a James Bondy song. It's very high-pitched and a little whiny.
Yeah, I like the orchestra part. The orchestra.
Beautiful. Yeah.
If I can speak, you know, that works like a Bond setup. I'm into that. Anyway, this song didn't do well outside of the UK, Mike. It only reached a high of 43 in Canada and 71 on the US Billboard Top 100.
Yeah, that backlash started early, and I think it went all the way to the Academy Awards performance, which we'll talk about in a minute.
So apparently Radiohead also composed a theme song for the movie, but it went unused. I don't know about you, but I went through a Radiohead phase or two in my life. I can see that fact going either way. I can see that fact being very true. And let's not use the crazy wackadoo Radiohead song. Or I could see Tom York and company making a masterpiece.
I got lambasted on Twitter yesterday for my feelings about No Country for Old Men.
Right.
So I'm going to keep to myself my feelings about Tom York and Radiohead
right
now.
I like their a couple of their albums there. They're a little kooky.
A little bit, yeah. It's a tad kooky.
There's a Gandalf quote. I don't know if you've heard me from a previous episode. You know, that kind of applies there.
Yeah.
A little, you know, moody, but in any case,
Radiohead is a little moody, like we're a little fat.
Why would you ever commission them to compose like a big blockbusters?
That is an
song.
Interesting call. Why would you get Radiohead on the horn, who really isn't a commercial licensing band like that? If they're willing to do something for James Bond, and then you kind of eschew them and go in the direction of Sam Smith,
they're kind of vehemently against that track. I mean, they don't even like Creep anymore. That's like their biggest
hit,
right? They don't want to play it. They don't like to sing it. Yeah, I mean,
it's almost as if they're trolling their fans, as someone might say if they were critical of them.
Sam Mendes is like, I want Creep, but with more orchestra, please. Anyway,
did you watch the music video for this?
I did. I don't necessarily think great songs require more than 20 minutes to write, like I said, Mike. But I hear a lot of good stuff in that music video. I like the way they moved the music video
it's
along.
It's a bit of
there.
A throwback to me. It's like straight out of the 80s or 90s.
All
the old
stairs.
School. Well, you used to have so many clips from the movie into the music videos back in those days, and this was kind of that setup. There was a lot of James Bond Spectre clips.
The silhouettes of a guy in a tux walking downstairs.
Yeah, and then
that
you
works.
Were just like smashed in the face with some cliche. shit. Like, the middle of nowhere singing is Sam Smith, When the Day Turns to Night.
True.
There's the small T Tetris pieces piled up behind him, just so photogenically.
It's all the decisions Mr. Bond can make throughout the
and he
movie.
He talks about the writing on the wall. They show James Bond approaching a wall with his name written on it.
Look, compared to our 80s songs, this has twice
there's
the
no
subtext.
Comparison. Yeah, there's
twice
no comparison.
The amount
no
of subtext. So at least there's another layer in this. There's a metaphor going on, even though it's a little on the nose for parts of it, for the chorus maybe. But I don't hate this song. Like, I get why people are upset.
It's okay.
Down the line that it won this
right,
prestigious
right,
of an award.
Exactly. There was, but this was the year for the Oscars to fumble a lot of things, I guess. So.
Now, do you think the Celine Dion song for Deadpool 2, Ashes, sounds more like a James Bond song than this one?
That's a good question. I just don't think Sam Smith's voice is James Bond. I didn't realize you were so attached to it. Did you sing backup vocals on that track?
Yeah,
well,
I
good for
actually
you.
Did.
That's
you
where
know,
you were
uncredited,
that
but right. I'm there.
Well, you do it for the art is why.
Right.
Yeah. The Oscars performance, a lot of ridicule from Sam Smith for this Oscars performance. It's a little infamous as he showed up. Sam Smith showed up on the red carpet looking radically different from the last time he was in the public eye. And this happened all amidst accusations and rumors of substance abuse issues that he was going through in his life. Aiding in the momentum of those rumors was his performance here, which was marred by being off-key and his voice having cracked live multiple times, as well as intense swaying and offbeat movements, which I guess you could chalk up to maybe grooving or dancing.
His fans called it the pee dance.
Right, yeah, the pee-pee dance. I saw that as well. And since we talked about poo-poo last episode, I guess we're just kidding a stride
here. I mean, Mike makes that dance throughout the entire recording session every day.
But to be fair, I'm actually peeing myself.
Right,
so
yeah. Catheters help.
While Smith never went on record directly addressing accusations on the Oscars night itself,
today.
He has done interviews as recently as July with UK's The Mirror, saying he did have a battle with alcohol and drugs in the past, but has since gotten his life in order, and insisting that his dramatic weight loss and look change is due to healthy lifestyle changes. So all
that's
this
good.
Is to say...
It wasn't terrible, but yeah, I mean, it seemed like a little scratchy when he did the high notes.
He's
got so much more talent vocally than anybody, so it's like
two guys here criticizing music that can't never carry a freaking, Sam Smith's jock, never mind a tune.
Now, go ahead.
Were you expecting Lady Gaga to pop out of that glowing egg behind him on stage like
I
was?
After this year's Oscars, I was expecting the merman from The Shape of Water, because that looked like a fishbowl. It was blue, and there was like something swimming in there.
I'm just glad we've gotten to the point where neither one of us were really looking at the performance at this point. Something's coming out of that thing.
I do think that when you're up there by yourself at your first Oscars, you can be a little nervous. I think
he
it
tweeted
helps.
Immediately after that he was very, very nervous. Could have been the cocaine as well, though.
Cocaine could do that to me. I hear. No, I hear that. I don't. Don't do drugs, kids.
Yes.
Anyway,
that's the lesson that we want to portray from this one.
So the movie's opening. This was kind of interesting. You got the squid, imagery. I guess that's the signal for the bad guy in this movie. I did not see
you
this
movie. You haven't seen
Spectre?
It's really decent. It's the one where Christoph Waltz plays the Blofeld character. But that's not a spoiler at this point.
Blofeld?
So. He's James Bond's longtime arch nemesis from back in the Sean Connery days. And yes, his name is Blofeld. That's not me.
All right.
Just going to leave that where it is.
I think, for as arch nemesis names go, that might be the worst.
It came out of the 60s, man.
Somebody just read The Hobbit or something. What the hell is going on there? Anyway, the end of the montage, gave me a bit of a headache with the optical illusion with all the eyes in the credit sequence there. But overall, Mike, I think, again, it's all about expectations with movies, with songs. Everybody crapped on this, and I walk away. I listened to it three times. I'm not upset at life because I listened to it three times.
It's a perfectly average song, I think.
It's fine. Yeah. I want to see this movie kind of now after,
just from the song? That's interesting.
Watching those three videos. I liked the credit sequence there. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. Spectre, if you haven't seen it, it is a rewarding
I've seen all the other ones,
well.
New ones anyway. So, all right, that's the winner.
Yeah, let's go to the second song here, Earned It, from the 50 Shades of Grey movie.
I'ma care for you, yeah. Cause girl, you're perfect. You're always worth it. Always worth it. And you deserve it. You deserve it. The way you work it. The way you work it. Cause girl, you're
is about a painter who just paints in black and white.
Yeah, that's it.
It's like the Mr. Turner, but Jamie Dornan.
I'm sure when they were making 50 Shades of Grey, or this music video especially, Mr. Terrible. Turner is the vision they had in mind, the artistic vision.
Music and lyrics for Earned It by Belly, Tahila, Stefan Mokio, and The Weeknd. It is, of course, performed by The Weeknd. Specs on this song, it peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Top 100.
Yeah, this song was everywhere for a little bit.
Sam Taylor Johnson, the director of the film 50 Shades of Grey, also directed this music video. And he's got an affinity for X's on Heinies. Anyway, the song won a Grammy for Best R&B Performance, so it's also a Grammy winner.
All right.
It was The Weeknd's biggest song of his career to date at that time. He composed many songs for the film, but this is the one that worked the best and the one that they used. It's strange how they used it later on. I don't know if they used it in more than one scene, but the scene they used it for was just like, all right, whatever. It was like a drive. Anyway, it was Rolling Stone's number 39 song on their top 50 songs of the year. It topped at number 1 on the R&B charts in both the UK and the US.
I have no feelings towards these first two songs. I think they're both perfectly songs. You know, they're okay. Yeah. They're ways to kill 3.5 minutes each.
It's kind of strange because the lyrics are so hugely positive. You know, it's really a nice, like, a love song.
I talk about that as well because it's a nice... The content is very romantic. And then the message that the video and the performance are delivering is just not.
Right. It's BDSM.
Right.
It's X's on bare booties.
I mean, start with the music video. The Weeknd is like at a burlesque show, but he's the only person there, and he's just singing while women with in bondage and tape are walking and performing around him, and ends up
woman hanging from the ceiling
to a woman that comes down from the ceiling with ropes and stuff around her, no clothing. There was more tape and less covering in this video than a gift unwrapped by a 10-year-old on Christmas morning, is how I thought of this.
Awkward to think about 10-year-olds and this movie music video.
Huh?
God. But better than Sam Smith's song already, though, even though
sure.
I think...
Sure. Yeah.
No, they're not... Neither are
right.
great.
I wonder, you know, when they presented this music video idea to The Weeknd, how giddy was he? You know, like, yeah, let's do that now. Can we do it now?
Take 70, please.
I just can't get these words right for some reason.
So at the Oscars, there's a semicircle of candles, which I don't know how all these performers don't trip over. They're very coordinated.
They are. I also don't understand. Again, that's what blew me away. The content of this. Like, you want to do the music video to have a direct tie into the movie. That's one thing. But do you need the scantily clad women dancing around here,
do
too?
Do you need the BDSM hanging from the ceiling again?
Like, and are we sure The Weeknd isn't Trevor Noah in a wig?
He does look
The Weeknd
like,
has never been on The Daily Show. I looked at this.
What great hair, though. Here's the thing about his hair. I wonder if 20 years from now he's going to regret that hairdo. Because it's a little goofy.
20 years?
It looks cool.
20 minutes from now.
It's cool now. At least I think
so. It looks like a rolled up roll of like paper towels sitting on top of his head. It's out there.
It looks like a wave. It's kind of cool. It's like a wave, and then you got the mullet thing going on.
We're probably
back.
Saying this out of jealousy because neither one of us could ever hope absolutely. To pull out that hairstyle.
It's like a whoosh, but it's like... flopped on. It's really cool. I think it's cool, but
you hit on the biggest problem I have with this. The song is fine. It's a perfectly okay song, like I said, but the content does not match. I mean, 50 Shades of Grey at its core is a movie about like vulnerability and trust. Yes, it's overly sexual, but it's...
I didn't see it.
Well, I didn't either. I just know the story. It's about... I mean,
I read half of
the,
I listened to half
other.
Of the audiobook. I got too awkward and I was like, stop. Because it was rom-com dialogue from a bad rom-com movie
right.
in this setup for BDSM and all this explicit sex.
Right.
Stuff.
I
was like, no, all right, no.
But nonetheless, regardless, it's those moments and those feelings that you have towards like a lover, and then it's here's a parade of women. You're worth it, but look at all these girls. Like,
yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. I really don't. So if you can explain it to us out there, neither Mike and I get it.
I would also like to asterisk the fact of any criticism I have. Yes, I am jealous of him.
Yes, no, I mean, I'm amazed at this at anybody with this much natural ability. I mean, he can really sing. He seems
both
like
he and Sam Smith, those high notes they hit
are
amazing.
He seems like he's enjoying it a little more. He's not as nervous. Maybe he's got a whole troop of performers around him. It's more of a team effort.
Yeah.
He seems like he's smiling during points in the song at the Oscars. It's much more of a...
He's got the swag of a superstar, too. You know, you could tell he's really into
he's going for it here a little bit. Yeah. I like the performance. In the movie, Mike, quote by whatever her name is, she goes, "Which car is yours?" And he goes, "All of them." It's a parking garage full of all of his cars. Beautiful cars. So goddamn you, Gray. Pretty much use the song as a transition from scene to scene where they take a drive into the country. Yes, we're going to my sex dungeon, but I'm a care for you, you, you. I mean, that's what's happening.
That's how we started this podcast.
Don't be scared, audiences. Don't be scared, Dakota Johnson.
Yeah, well, I'm a care for you. Like, we're talking about how special you are and how great you are, and then there's just women with X's on their butts parading around in both the music video and the Oscars performance. So, okay, if that's the message you want to convey, I guess.
I'm starting to see why people are mad at Sam Smith, because this is immediately better for me. Better performance, better song. I mean, yeah.
I would agree with that. I would agree. Okay. And again, but both performers, both The Weeknd and Sam Smith, amazing voices.
Ready for the next one?
Yeah, let's do Manta Ray from Racing Extinction.
In the sky, in the seams, between the beams, oh, the loving and sad.
That was Manta Ray from the movie Racing Extinction, the documentary. What do we got, Mike?
Music by J. Ralph, lyrics by Anoni, formed by Anoni. The song was inspired by the mating call of the last individual survivor of the now extinct Kuai'o. I hope I pronounced that right.
Good job.
The music video features magnifications of various marine microorganisms, which is kind of cool.
Thought it was beautiful.
Premise of the movie is a documentary that follows undercover activists trying to stave off a man-made mass extinction. Again, this is Manta Ray from Racing Extinction, Michael.
So I guess we'll start with the music video, even though I kind of want to touch on the trailer, and I think that's very important. But the music video, like you said, it's microscopic. It's all this microbes and ocean life that's really, you can't be seen with the naked eye, and it's just this highlighted dance that they do, and it shows you just how valuable and alive our oceans and waters are.
Absolutely. I mean, the music is very delicate, it seems, and it's kind of sad, and microorganisms, you know, that the visuals fit obviously the tone of the song. I mean, it's a very nice song, like I said, notes of sadness throughout, contrasting to the stunning visuals with all these, and it's amazing the variety of little fish and little microorganisms that they have. I didn't know microorganisms could be crabs
and
fish.
I was just gonna say eels. The detail they have too. Yeah, I mean, they have claws and arms, and they're not just like little amoebas floating around.
Exactly.
I thought it was a really cool way to highlight. Somebody should tell The Weeknd and the 50 Shades of Grey production team that this is how you stay on message, and this is how you relay what you want your song to be about. The trailer, the song wasn't featured in the trailer, but that trailer is really well done.
Unfortunately, this is a doc I have not seen.
Same.
Racing Extinction, but it seems like a really cool premise for something. They're trying to infiltrate all these wildlife abuses and the wildlife trade based with covert ops.
Right.
And Elon Musk is helping, you know, fund it, and they got all kinds of crazy black market exposure going on, and
it's like everything you want from like a true life thing. There's an expose, there's undercover, they got hidden cameras and hidden wires, you have a heist at one point that they try to set up,
all these stakes, these right. high stakes where they're going into these dangerous situations with all these uniformed armed guards, and they're basically stealing all this wildlife that was abused and being sold from them. It's pretty high stakes if I've ever seen it.
Isn't this the point of the Oscars too? You put the spotlight on something that may not otherwise get it, and you bring it down the grandest stage, and you hope that it reaches people. And yet,
except it's a half measure at the end.
Exactly. It's 1 foot in and 1 foot out.
You have Anoni, the first transgender nominee. And ridiculous. He decides to boycott the show because the Academy does not ask him to perform.
And he's not the only one. I mean, that's ridiculous, by the way, obviously. Yeah. The idea that we have multiple performers nominees in this category that just weren't even asked to do.
It's a slap in the face. Songs. I mean, it's pretty simple. Just have the five best original songs.
How do you
perform
screw
every
up?
Year, unless they can't because there's some major conflict that they
right.
can't perform.
And I'll have more to say about it in the next nomination that we go over. But you're absolutely right. This is it's a disgrace, really, is what it is. These you're providing a once in a lifetime moment for these people. They're probably never going to get this stage again.
Think about the graphics. What they could have done with all the microorganisms behind there. I mean, the visuals of the music video. Put those broadcast those behind. Them on behind Anoni on the stage, it would have been amazing.
And by the way, this is the Revenant year, so this is the year Leo won, and he ended his Best Actor award-winning speech talking about the environment and how we need to save it, and we only have one planet, and blah, and all that stuff. It would have gone right in the theme of the night. You could have had an uplifting message, an uplifting through line through what was a disastrous setup with the Oscars So White controversy.
It's a disaster because it also it tells the audience, it tells everybody these nominees are lesser
exactly.
than
Oh, than my God. Yeah, I talk about
it. It's just so silly.
Let's do the next one because I got more to say about it. Simple song number 3 from the movie Youth.
I know on those lonely nights I know
Go ahead, give us the specs on this one, Mike.
Music and lyrics by David Lang, performed by Sumi Joe, nominated for a Golden Globe and a Critics' Choice Award as well. I really just found the video for the opening title sequence of the film on YouTube. I remember liking this movie, Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Another Michael there is the conductor of this orchestra here. World-renowned performer, Sumi Joe.
God,
if you look
voice.
Her up on YouTube, she's everywhere. And we just live in a YouTube world. Imagine if we were actually cultured like the rest of society. They know who she is. She's a world-famous opera singer.
So how do we get cultured like the rest of society? Maybe you give a talented performer this bursting at the seams with talent the actual stage to show her talents to people that may not otherwise ever get exposed to her.
You have an orchestra.
Oh my
right
God.
There.
It's right there.
They would be chomping at
her,
the bit.
This song and her voice are just gorgeous. It was haunting. Music videos like this, which is basically just a stripped down performance of her, Michael Caine conducting the orchestra, but it's just her singing. They really don't exist anymore. And they're certainly rarely ever Oscar nominees. I mean, the best original song category is usually where the Academy goes to really lean into the popular film and try to grab view. Like, they've nominated songs from the Lego Movie, multiple James Bonds in the past, Ghostbusters. They really try to get you in by that being one of the hooks that eventually led to the terrible decision of the best popular film category, which they've since recanted until a future date.
Right.
But when you do that, when you lean so heavily into it, at the expense of providing the platform and actually going all the way, like we talked about with Sumi Joe here and with the last nominee we talked about from the documentary, you're not, who are you helping? It's just egg on the face of the Academy, really, because these performers are never, may not ever get this again. And you have someone like Lady Gaga, who you are asking to perform, who's going to be at the Oscars multiple times. She's probably sick of, I mean, we're going to get to her performance. It was touching and it was great, but she's got to be exhausted from performing on all these award shows. She's in it so much.
Yeah, true. It's just a silly maneuver. Like, you're going to opt to have people go longer in all their speeches. You're going to opt for all the goofy gags. You're going to opt for the montages of film history
right. Instead
of live performances of world famous musicians and performers. It doesn't make a lot of sense there. That's a kind of, to me, it seems like a stupid thing to cut. These songs are perfectly likable. And for much of the audience, People will discover these folks, right, like you said, but for much of the audience, it's right up their wheelhouse. I mean, we have a the Oscar faithful enjoys this,
yeah.
I think. I mean, yeah, you and me are eating corn dogs, and we're a bunch of yokels.
But even so, this is gorgeous. It. Yeah. I understand the idea behind it. The genesis of it is that you want to mix the highly cultured stuff and get in the populars to draw in all kinds of casual viewers as well. I get that, but in your attempts to do so, all you're doing is really isolating and making a negative impact on the stuff that you're the performances that you're giving half measures to.
Right.
It's
unfair, and it's total slap into the
total
in the face.
On the face. Absolutely. This song was gorgeous for me.
This is the next one there, Mike?
Yeah, let's wrap it up here. This is the final performance. This is the Lady Gaga performance, the aforementioned one, called Till It Happens to You.
Till it happens to you, you don't know how I feel. How I feel. How I feel.
Subject matter is beautiful. Go ahead, Mike.
From The Hunting Ground, music and lyrics by Lady Gaga and Diane Warren, performed by Lady Gaga. Of course, Diane Warren's been like nominated almost every year. If you look down the Best Original Song category.
Her and Randy Newman.
Yeah, right? Seriously. Yeah. We're going to have to do that Oscar stats episode again.
Yeah,
they're
sure.
going to be a top of the list for sure. Specs for this song, I mean, it's famously leaked after the Sundance Film Festival before Interscope Records was able to put it out there. A portion of the proceeds were given to organizations supporting victims of sexual assault. The song was later used in a public service announcement by Catherine Hardwicke. The song won an Emmy, Michael. During the promotion of the song, Gaga revealed that she is also a rape survivor. I was blown away by the music video to start with that.
So harrowing. It's just sickening to see what's
the
going on.
The stats are sickening for sure. The stat of 1 in 5 women will be sexually assaulted and is just absolutely sickening. That's still a fact in 2015. But this is a powerful music video.
Absolutely.
Really tells a story. There's a through line, and it's simple. They don't leave that hallway for the most part. They shot it in one college dorm room hallway. They show instances that are kind of, you know, tragic and hard to watch of young girls partying and then getting in a scenario
whose biggest crime is going out and having a good time with their friends, and then they end up, you know, date raped or just straight up raped, sex assaulted. It's disgusting. It's a powerful message. I think it's important, too, that music video, it's all shot in black and white, which is really artistically done. But the message is that it ends on a positive note as well. It's tough to watch for the first half, but that you do see that there's people that you could talk to. There's a support system in place for these victims. I think that was very important and lets all these warriors know they're not alone. They have people they can turn to. Thought that was very cool. Like you said, Lady Gaga coming out and saying that she herself is a survivor.
There's a lot of support shown in this music video, with families coming to visit, with the friends walking through the hallways.
Right.
Obviously, that march through the hallways at the end of it. It's a powerful moment, and it works. It works. Again, it's a simple through line that they really nailed down, and it really worked in a 3-minute music video. I was really surprised by that fact. Usually, music videos are all off. Over the map.
They're not what they used to be. And then when we do get them in this day and age, we have the softcore porn that The Weeknd did. That's totally off message.
True.
You know, but this one, you're absolutely right. It was an important message with great lyrics, emphasized and underscored by her performance at the Oscars, where she had Lady Gaga in a white pantsuit playing the piano, singing, and surrounded at one point by a bunch of survivors and victims of sexual violence, sex assault, domestic violence, and
She goes for it in that performance.
Off.
I'm amazed at her ability.
Total
yes,
results.
I mean, of course, the overall metaphor of it, the overall defiance and standing together at these stats and at the subject matter, the way everybody's got something like Survivor written on their arm.
I thought
or
that
something.
Was awesome. Yeah,
that was really cool. But it was also the way she attacked this performance. It was the camera is like falling from the ceiling on a cord or something, ripcord or whatever, and she just stares it down for one verse of it. I just thought that was so awesome, where she was like angry at the beginning
very
of the
artistic,
song.
Yep.
In the music video, and I think in the recording, she's a little sad during the beginning of the song. She came out guns a-blazing.
I think
she was
knew.
Angry, and then she was just belting it out.
Well, she was singing it for not only herself, but she wasn't singing it for the Academy. She was singing it for all those women on stage sharing with her.
If she sang it the way she did at the Oscars on the recording, I wonder if it would have won, because just the power of that performance.
One of the best we've
seen.
It's a good point. Yeah, absolutely. It's a great point. But nonetheless, how do you vote something like Sam Smith, which is easily not the best Bond song of all time? I think it's fair to say that.
Yeah.
Over something like this with the power before it. And again, this Oscars performance was also a very famous moment as all the survivors came off the stage. Brie Larson hugged every woman that shared the stage with Lady Gaga. It was a very famous moment as they passed by her seat in the front row. She was meeting them and greeting them and giving them hugs and loves and back rubs and spending time with them.
Yeah.
That was caught during a commercial break. One of the more heartwarming moments.
This is an important documentary. Go see it. I saw it back a couple years ago, and the song plays over the credits, and it plays much more positively than you'd think. Just rewatching the credits here, I was very surprised, because again, when you hear the song in the music video, it feels very sad and somber. And this, the way they played, I don't know if they played a different version of it for the credits of the movie here, but it seems very forward thinking, and it feels very uplifting there, Mike. They mention the stats again. They also mention that it can be stopped. You know, go to cactstop.org.
Right.
You know, I think I'm pretty sure that's still in existence there. You can donate, you can support. I really think that this documentary is something everybody should watch. It was problems that, as two guys, I don't know, I wasn't aware of the level of this problem back when I was in school.
Same.
And I can't.
That's shortcomings on our part. Yeah.
It's shocking. It really is. So, and it's disgusting.
Yep.
And it has to be changed. So you have all these great clauses in this episode. We've had frivolous songs.
It's amazing that everything we have such heavy subject matter, such great performances, such on the nose when they need to be on the nose. You know, on the nose in a good way. Messages and
I feel like this song in particular just reaches out to exactly what people are thinking and feeling. And it doesn't. You don't have to have 17 layers of metaphor. Like she says what she needs to say, and it really strikes a chord, and it's very direct. And it's on purpose.
And the only two that didn't have really serious messages like that are the two that were the top 40 that they made sure performed, aside from this
Lady
Gaga
one. What is the Academy thinking? To me, the quality of the music is better in this song, number one.
Without question.
And Lady Gaga's performance.
And I would say in the former, in Simple Song number 3 too, the quality. I mean, I know it's an orchestra and it's orchestral background, but I would argue that as well.
And it's just absurd to me. Never mind the performance of the singer. I mean, Lady Gaga over Sam Smith.
Of course.
For me,
of course.
100 times
every
out of 100. Yep. I don't dislike Sam Smith.
No.
But to me, she's just that another level talent. And I don't understand why this song doesn't win over Sam Smith.
I
mean, the orchestra of the Bond song was good.
Well, let's get into it. Let's do our re-ranking musical perfection here. Perfecting perfection is what we like to call it, as we will go 5-1 on what we think the order should have been, starting with the least likely to win from our favorite in the category to win. Michael, what was your number 5?
It was Sam Smith. I don't have it better than any of these other songs, and I think on principle, I want to go at it a little bit here, so I'm putting it as my number 5.
That's fine with me. I was The Weeknd, but Sam Smith's my 4. I don't think either one of those really belonged with these other 3. There were music videos, there were pop videos, and these other 3 actually were telling a serious message. And if you can't use the Academy Awards to tell a serious message, or provide a platform for exposure that may not otherwise come, I don't know what we're doing.
I don't dislike the Sam Smith song either,
of course not.
But or the Weeknd song, which is my number 4. I don't dislike them.
I mean,
they're good songs, so. What's your number 3 there, Mike?
My number 3 is going to be Manta Ray. I think it's another worthy cause. I think it's a really unique video. I would love to see it performed on stage, But sure. Manta Ray from Racing Extinction, we didn't get that opportunity. That's my number three. What about you?
Yeah, I would agree. And I was blown away at going into the movie Youth, watching that. With the, you had to show Michael Caine conducting
that's
the
Simple
orchestra.
Song number three.
Yeah, so I mean, I had Anoni at number three, and then I had Simple Song number three at my two.
Okay, yeah, so we're on this, we have the exact same.
Yeah.
Yeah, minus four and five, we switch, but yeah, Lady Gaga's number one, obviously.
My second song, which is Simple Song number three.
There you go.
Screwing me up.
Yes, both
numbers.
Of
ours. Two different numbers.
See, it's number three, and we had it number two.
We had it as our number two.
23 is Michael Jordan.
I'm just going to call it Simple Song number two from now on out. No, I mean, it's.
That's good.
Sumi Joe's awesome in it, and
amazing.
It works so well to set that movie up. You need to see Michael Caine doing his thing before he goes to the Grand Budapest Hotel there for the rest of the movie and just has like a fun, you know, holiday where he's not conducting. I mean, it really works.
Voice. What a voice. Yeah, and Lady Gaga. And
easy.
Still It Happens to You. Without
easy.
I mean, there's no. I don't know how this didn't win. Give me a break.
I mean, maybe I'm biased because I'm a
no.
Gaga fan, but no, it's silly.
You're not. It's
silly.
The Academy holds itself in such high regard. They think, and they are so important. They think themselves so important. Be important. Tell the important message. Reward the important message.
Look, I both the quality of the music and never mind the quality of the music to me, Gaga's better.
Same.
I don't see how you
but
can.
My point is, even if you're tied, even if you think Sam Smith's song and Lady Gaga's song are the same quality,
right?
One is a bit more long lasting and has more important things to say than the other. No,
absolutely. And, that's so. Yeah. I would say, you know, take the side of the great message,
right.
The all timer great message. Let's do that, please, idiots.
Yeah,
fucking idiots sometimes. Sometimes the Academy can be a group of fucking idiots.
It's true. I mean, and there goes our chance of ever being in it. But
quotes. Mike and Oscar, sometimes the Academy can be a group of fucking idiots.
Look, we usually do these best original song half-isodes, and this one went a little long as we've been doing lately anyway, but that's not important. We usually do these half-isodes to, you know, have fun and jest and poke fun. This one we picked because we knew the subject matter was so serious. We thought there was important things to say and talk about, remind people. We thought the performers were a very eclectic group and very multi-talented, multi-versatile. I mean, The Weeknd, Sam Smith, and Lady Gaga are top 40 singers. You're going to hear them often, but you may not even hear Sumi again. You may not ever hear from the Manta Ray song from
exactly.
That documentary again, so...
So we can't rectify the situation this year after a cause like this goes by, but Lady Gaga probably will be in a Best Original Song category this year based on the movie that's coming out this Friday that we're going to review, A Star is Born.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. We got a lot more Oscar Sprint profiles in the works as it's one of the busiest October's yet.
We're getting into it. Every week we're going to have something new, hopefully. That's the plan anyway. We're going to keep churning out some OSPs. Every week you should have a new one, at least through the late October. We're going to do a lot of horror stuff.
Maybe a movie event there that somebody's interested in.
Get your kitchen knives ready. Get your butcher knives ready. Stab your sister. She's not a sister anymore, though. I don't know how I feel about it. I have faith. I have faith. This isn't an internal conflict at all that I'm facing.
Right. So we do horror stuff. We do Oscar stuff. We do Halloween. We'll do red carpet. You'll get your fix on both there.
Yeah, make sure you stay tuned for us. We've got a lot of good stuff in the pipeline, and we want to hear from you. If there's anything out there that you do desperately want to hear us cover, or you have any thoughts about things we have covered in the past, make sure you reach out to us on social media. Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine, MikeMikeAndOscar.com at gmail.com, and on the Reddit. Like Mike said, we got a lot of good stuff cooking, so we just want to stay on top of it. You want to keep on top of us, and couple times every week we're going to be out there giving you new information and new stuff to make sure that award season is all year round. And we're going to wrap up here. Michael, last words of wisdom.
CACTstop.org. Go visit it and help it out. It's the huntinggroundfilm.com now.
Very important message. Good job. Proud of you.
Well, it's important.
It is. Guys, reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us, and we will check you out next time.
See ya.